Hebrews chapter 4 tonight. We're going to look tonight. I'm titled my message tonight, Bold Prayer. Bold Prayer. And I want to speak on that subject of prayer tonight. I don't think we realize how important it is to pray. I don't think we realize how important and vital it is in our Christian life to pray. But the Bible highlights prayer, the importance of prayer. And with God's help, we're going to do that tonight. Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse number 14. And so follow along tonight as I read. Our text says here, seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Bold prayer is our subject tonight. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings and your help tonight as we open the Bible and preach on thy word tonight. We need something tonight from you. We need a little gas in our tank. We need something, God, to help us with. And God, I pray tonight as we open up the Bible on the subject of prayer that tonight you would take our hearts and our minds and draw them, Lord, tonight to this so important subject. I pray tonight you would. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your blessings tonight. Help us tonight with thy word. Strengthen us, Lord. Help us to hear your word tonight. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I love the passage of scripture that is our text tonight. It reminds us that the Lord Jesus Christ is in the heavens. He's there and he has already been here where we are. And because he's there and has already been here where we are, he then says, come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So God is saying in this passage of scripture, he's saying, I've been where you've been, and the answer for where you are is prayer. And he knows that because he's seated right at the right hand of God the Father. That's where the Lord Jesus Christ is right now. And his wounds are open and paying still for the sins of mankind. He's still paying for man's sins. And so with God, who's been here and who not only has been here, but he is there, then he is saying to us, you need to come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, can I tell you, that's an opportunity as a Christian. That's an opportunity as a Christian that God allows. And it's also a command of God. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. God is trying to teach us the importance of prayer, and not just the importance of prayer, but how to pray. Now, the disciples wanted to know the same thing in Matthew chapter 6. So I want you to hold your finger there and go over to Matthew chapter 6 with me. And I want you to notice how the disciples wanted to learn from the Lord Jesus how to pray. They even asked the Lord, how do we pray? They wanted to know. And the Lord Jesus taught them how to pray. Notice first of all tonight, Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 5, the words of the Lord. And I want to tonight just give you these truths about prayer in our lives. And I want to give you the truths that the Bible tells us about prayer. Number one, notice in this verse 5, he says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues, in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou enterest, or when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So the first point about prayer tonight is pray in secret. Pray in secret. The Lord Jesus told the disciples here tonight, in this passage, he said, don't do like the Pharisees do. They walk about wanting attention. They want people to see how spiritual they are. But prayer is not a matter really of how spiritual we are. Prayer is a matter of how great God is. Prayer. And that's why we should pray in secret. And God says, when you pray in secret, God will reward you openly. I believe that. We're supposed to pray in secret. Do you have a prayer time? Do you have a time when nobody's around? It's good to let people know that you're praying for them. But it's not good to let people know how important you are when you're praying for them. It's important to let them know that there is a God who can answer prayers. So I say to you tonight, Jesus taught us to pray in secret. Number two, pray to honor the name of the Lord. Pray to honor the name of the Lord. I think we miss this in our prayer. And notice verse number 9. Notice what he said. He said, after this manner, after, in other words, follow this pattern, follow this manner, therefore pray ye. And what's the first thing he said? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now the Lord's Prayer is not a prayer to be repeated. It's a prayer to be modeled. It's a prayer to understand what God is saying. And what he's saying in this verse is, when you pray, honor the name of the Lord. In other words, when you pray, recognize the one to whom you're praying. Recognize him. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When you and I pray, we go boldly to the throne. We are going right to our heaven. We're going right to the one who can supernaturally answer that prayer. That's who we're going to. How often do we pray and we go to the Lord and we say, Lord, now give me this, give me that, give me the other. And the Lord says, do you know who I'm praying to? Who you're praying to? Do you know who I am? And you know, oftentimes in our life, we'll pray, but we'll forget the one that we're praying. And you know, I think sometimes God wants us to pray just so he can hear us pray. Just so he can hear us pray. But he loves to answer those prayers too. So I say, secondly, the Bible teaches to pray to honor the name of the Lord. Number three, notice, pray recognizing God's will be done. Pray recognizing God's will be done. Verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven. You know, sometimes a Christian will become frustrated when they pray if they don't get that specific prayer answered. Can I tell you, sometimes it's not always God's will to answer that prayer. Sometimes his will is that that prayer not be answered. You remember the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9? You remember what he prayed for? He had a thorn in the flesh. And the Bible says that he prayed 3 times for God to take that thorn in the flesh away. But God didn't do that. And do you know why? Because it was in God's will that he bear that thorn in his flesh. Now, I don't know what that thorn was. And if I were God, maybe I would have removed it. But God obviously had a purpose and a plan. And whenever God does not hear the prayer of a godly, righteous Christian, you mark it down. God has a will and a reason why he doesn't answer that specific prayer. Those reasons may not be known on this earth, but those reasons can be known and will be known when we get to heaven. So I'm saying to you tonight, pray recognizing God's will be done. Oftentimes I pray, Lord, this is what I need. I'm praying for this. But Lord, if you got something better in mind, that'll work for me. that's a good way. That's a good way to pray. Lord, this is what I'm praying for, and this is what I'm asking you for. Lord, if you got a better will, then I want to do your will. I believe God honors that kind of prayer. We all pray recognizing God's will be done. Number four, the Bible teaches to pray for our daily needs. Pray for our daily needs. Look at verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Now notice, it's daily. It's daily. Give us this day our daily. We're supposed to be praying every day. Every day. Lord, meet our needs this day. Pray every day. You know, I used to have a guy, he was a jokester in our church. He was a jokester. He said, I don't know why when you take the groceries home and you set them on the counter, why don't you just pray over them then you don't have to pray the whole rest of the week? That's what he said. He was kind of crazy. Amen. But the reason we do that is because God told us to pray daily for our daily needs. You know, sometimes a Christian will go to God, or they won't go to God asking God for needs. Sometimes there's a proud barrier there. But God is trying to teach us, let down that proud barrier and ask God for your needs. Now, why would God command us to do that if God did not actually want us to do that? Pray for our daily needs. Pray for our needs. I remember a day when we didn't have anything in the house. And we were raising kids. And I mean, we didn't have any money. We were poorer than Job's turkey. I mean, there wasn't much money, nothing. And we prayed and asked the Lord to meet our need. I'll never forget an old boy named Toby. Toby, that's a Texas name. He was listening to the Lord. And Toby pulled up in his pickup truck. He didn't even get out. And Toby was a little guy with a big pickup. And he said, Preacher, I don't know why I'm supposed to do this. He said, but God told me to come by and give this to you. He pulled out three $100 bills. Guess what we did? We ate that day, amen. Eating was good. You know, we're supposed to pray for those daily needs. Pray for those daily needs. Number five, pray for forgiveness and pray to forgive others. Pray for forgiveness and pray to forgive others. Notice verse number 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Notice those two are connected. Because the principle of God is if we don't forgive others, then God won't forgive us. So God's saying when we pray, we need to pray with a forgiving heart. And how much are we supposed to forgive? You ever just had that person in your life that just hard to forgive? I think all of us have that. I think all of us have a something in life or somebody or a situation in life that's hard to forgive. And God said to forgive. Forgive as we forgive others. Others. We're supposed to forgive others. We ask God to help us to forgive others. God can do that. God can do that. Oh, dear Lord, you know that person. You know they just get under my skin and they really start scratching hard. Oh, Lord, you know it. Help me, Lord. You know, there's a prayer. Sometimes you pray, Lord, help me. And then sometimes you pray, oh, Lord, help me. You know the difference? Amen. There's times when we got to go to God and say, oh, God, help me. We need that. And you know what God said? God said, pray for forgiveness and pray to forgive other people. You know, there are people in every one of our lives that affect us negatively, but they don't always know what they're doing. Did you know that? There are people affect us negatively in life and they don't always know what they're doing. How do I know? Because Jesus said that himself on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They know not what they do. And I'll tell you what, it's easier to pray for forgiveness of others when you know that oftentimes they're doing what they do in ignorance and lack of knowledge. It helps us to forgive easier than the time. But then there's the kind that do it on purpose. That's when you got to go to God and say, oh, God, help me to forgive them. Help me to forgive them. You know what God will do? God will give you forgiveness. And God will give you the ability to forgive others. We need that. You see, when we don't ask God to help us forgive others, we take upon our own selves a bitter heart. The bitter heart closes off all future blessings. It closes off our spirit. It detracts, it defeats our relationships with everyone else. And when our relationships are defeated, our relationship even with God becomes defeated. And when our relationship with God is defeated, it's hard to get our prayers answered. So God's teaching us to forgive. Forgive. We need to make that a part of our prayer life. Number six, pray for deliverance from evil. Pray for deliverance from evil. Verse 13, the Bible says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God, keep me from evil situations. God, keep me, prevent me from something that would affect me in an evil way. Oh, God, keep me from it. God, don't deliver me from evil. Deliver me from evil. Evil. Lord, keep me away from it. I don't want to be around it. Deliver me from evil. That's how he told us to pray. Number seven, pray asking. Pray asking. You know what prayer really is? Prayer is simply asking. Did you know God wants us to ask? Jesus commanded us. He said, ask and you shall receive. Ask. God said, ask. And that word is a progressive word that means ask and ask and ask and don't quit asking. Keep on asking. Don't stop asking. Keep on asking. And we can receive nothing from God without asking. Asking. God wants us to ask. Look at chapter 7 and verse number 7. Jesus is continuing to teach the disciples here. And he goes in chapter 7 and verse 7. He says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. We have to ask God. We have to ask God. Are you asking God? Sometimes we go along in a Christian motion and our dependence on God slowly begins to turn to a dependence on ourselves. And God says, I don't want you to just depend on yourself. God says, I want you to depend on me. That's faith. I want you to depend on me. And when we pray, and by the way, the more things in our life we need to pray for, the more dependence in prayer we need upon God. Well, we just need to keep depending on God. Trusting God, depending on him. Because if we're asking him, if he is the object of our prayers, then he also becomes the object of the answered prayer. He is the answer to our prayers. So God said, prayer is asking. Number eight, pray believing God. Pray believing God. Look at Matthew chapter 21. Go over there, just a few pages over. Matthew chapter number 21. Now, if it's something that you really shouldn't be praying for, then you shouldn't pray believing it'll happen. Lord, make me a billionaire. That might be asking amiss, right? I don't know. Maybe God would make somebody a billionaire. I don't know. But prayer is asking. Prayer is believing God. Matthew 21, verse number 22. It says right here, in all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. God's saying put some belief in prayer. You know, a prayer that's prayed without a belief that God can and would answer that prayer is a prayer that God sees we really don't have the right kind of prayer when we're praying if we're really not believing God, because we're not asking in faith. We're not really believing that God can do that or that He would do that. Oftentimes, we pray the words, but we have a negative spirit. That's not believing, is it? That's not believing. So the Bible says, pray, believing. Hey, if it's right to pray for, then you can pray believing God would do that. Amen? We can pray for a lost person. I believe God will save a lost. Amen? God will save lost people. I think we ought to believe that even more. So, now wait a minute, preacher. I prayed for that. I prayed for something for a long time. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. George Mueller prayed for his brother for 61 years. 61 years he prayed faithfully for his brother. And on George Mueller's funeral, his brother got saved. What would have happened if George Mueller would have quit praying? Amen? So God's teaching us to pray, to pray believing. And this goes along with the next point, number 9, pray always. Pray always. There's never a bad time to pray. There's never a bad time to pray. You say, I'm working, I'm doing something important right now. Well, if you're doing something important, it would be helpful to bathe it in prayer. Amen? Pray. No, go to Luke chapter 18 with me, please. The book of Luke, chapter number 18. Notice what the Bible says. You still with me? Luke chapter 18. Notice verse 1. The Bible says here, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray. That word always means at all times. You say sometimes, well, I don't know if I should pray about that. God doesn't think that. God thinks we should pray always. Well, you know, when I'm around a different crowd, I don't know if I should pray. Hey, we're supposed to be praying always. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Just keep on praying. Keep on praying. It is amazing, and I've got an illustration on this. It is amazing when we don't quit praying what we become and what we're learning when we keep praying and we don't quit. It's amazing what God does in us when we keep on praying and that prayer hasn't yet been answered. It's amazing how God works in us, how God teaches us through prayer before He answers the prayer. And I think sometimes if that prayer brings us closer to God, then really that prayer is an answer in some ways to prayer. Because when prayer brings us closer to God, it makes us understand that God is our source. We can come boldly to Him. So He's saying pray always. Pray always. Don't quit praying. Don't lose track of the importance of prayer. I think it's a good thing to have a prayer list. You know, there's nothing in the Bible that says you have to have a prayer list. But I think it's good for us as humans because oftentimes we forget. We're short of memory. And I think that list sometimes, when we can take that list out and pray for those people, those needs, those burdens, those troubles, that God will bless and answer those prayers. Pray always, he said. Keep on praying. It's when you don't feel like praying the least that we need prayer the most. That's when we need to pray. Number 10, the Bible teaches us to pray fervently. Pray fervently. James chapter 5, verse 16. The Bible tells us here, God hears the prayers faithful. Well, let's go over there and look at it so I don't get it quoted wrong. The book of James chapter 5 and verse number 6. Book of James, chapter 5. Boy, it's hot up here. Is it hot down there? All right, maybe Brother Nathaniel can adjust that a little bit. I didn't think I'd hear that one, amen. I thought everybody down there would say, I'm freezing cold down here, preacher. Amen. Notice James chapter 5, look at verse 16. Bible says here, for where envy and strife, I'm in chapter 3, I'm sorry. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Pray fervently. Pray fervently. I think fervent prayer often comes out in many different ways in our life. Number one, I think fervent prayer often includes our tears. Fervent prayer often includes our tears. Secondly, fervent prayer also includes a desire to be close to God and right with God. There's times when I prayed, I put a fervency in my prayer and believed God, but God said, now wait a minute, before you pray, I want you to make this right. In your heart. I have to stop praying and asking and ask God to help me have that right in my heart. And then it's like it gives me freedom to just pray for that thing that which he put upon my heart to ask for. So God's saying pray fervently. That includes our tears. That includes, secondly, also a heart for the lost. Heart for the lost. We ought to be praying for lost people. Those lost neighbors, those lost people. I mean, we just got to keep praying for them. Keep praying. Keep praying for those missionaries. Don't quit praying. They're depending on our prayers. They're depending on our prayer. So God's saying pray fervently. Number 11, pray with a right heart. Pray with a right heart. Make sure our hearts are right with God. You know what's interesting is God doesn't tell us a lot of things that we can't pray for. You know that you can pray for the things you want? Did you know that? You can pray for the things that you want. There's no verse in the Bible that says, thou shalt not pray for the things thou wantest. There's no verse in the Bible like that. But instead, we see many people who did pray for things they asked for. Hezekiah asked, Lord, turn back the clock. God did it, didn't he? God heard and God answered his prayer. He asked for something that he wanted. God is not against giving us what we want and many things we want, but we have to pray with the right heart. Amen? And pray with a heart that wants and desires and prioritizes being right with God so that when we pray, God hears our prayers. He hears our prayers. Number 12, pray boldly. Pray boldly. Don't go to God and say, oh God, you know, I don't know if you can get around to doing this for me, or if maybe if you think about it, if I'm not really offending you too much, would you please answer this prayer? If you don't want to, it's okay. It's okay. That's not the kind of prayer God teaches us to pray. God said, come boldly. Walk, step right up to God. And by the way, if your heart's right, you can do that. And when you walk up to God and your heart's right, you say, God, here's the prayer. This is what we need. Lord, would you answer this prayer? Lord, you know my need. You know my daily need. You know my trouble. You know my problem. God, please answer this prayer. God does not teach us timid praying. He teaches us to come boldly to the throne of grace. We can approach God boldly. We can approach Him because the relationship, we are no longer a servant, but we are a son. And because we're sons and daughters of God, we can go right up to Him boldly. Have access to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, you know, there's certain privileges that are there in existence with a child, right? When I go home, you know, my children don't have to go to the front door and knock before they come in. You know what they do? They just go right in. You know why? That's their house. I'm their father. They're my children. Now, if you come over to my house, I'd appreciate if you knock on the door. Amen. If I come to your house, I can't go walk in the door. I'm not going to walk in on your house. Amen. I'm not your son. But when you go to God in prayer, you can go right up to Him because we're the children of God. Hallelujah. That'll warm your heart in a cold night. Pray boldly. Number 13, prayer is a test of our faith. Prayer is a test of our faith. Do we really believe God? Do we really believe in Him? You know, God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith is the key to seeking God. Believing in Him. And prayer is a test of that faith. Prayer is a test of our faith. And when God sees us with faith in Him, you know, my kids, we're getting ready to have a wedding here. I got news for you. Weddings are expensive. Amen. I'm going to sell 3 of my toes and 4 of my fingers. And, you know, if I come with a missing eyeball, you know I sold it too, because there's a wedding to pay for, you know. And, you know, it's expensive. Amen. If some of you have been there, you know what I'm talking about. But you know what my kids know? Dad will take care of it. Now, sometimes that's good, and sometimes I don't know if that's good, right? I told my son-in-law, or my future son-in-law, I said, I'll leave $500 on the counter. You can come get her one night. I don't think his mama would be very glad about that, but why do they do that? Because they know I'm dad. Dad will take care of it. And there's a peace that resides in their heart because they know it'll get taken care of. And can I tell you, it's the same when we pray to God, our Heavenly Father. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And when we pray, there should be this faith that our God supplies our needs. And He will. Sometimes I prayed and I didn't really need it. Sometimes God withheld it from me because it wasn't in His will. And sometimes God gave it to me because I'm His child and I asked for it. But whether He does or He doesn't, I'm going to keep my faith in Him. Because prayer is a test of my faith, and I understand, or I should understand, that God's will is often to be done during, because of prayer. God's will. Number 14, pray when you're hurting. Pray when you're hurting. There are times in life when we really hurt. There are times in life when we really hurt. Pray when we're hurting. We have the example in Scripture of Hannah. She had this, in a day of polygamy, her husband was married to another woman. And the woman bare children to this man, but Hannah did not. And it brought her a bitterness in her soul. It brought her a deep sadness. But what did she do while she was hurting? She prayed to God. She prayed to God. Prayer will keep you from getting depressed and defeated. Just keep praying. Prayer is the alternative resource to defeat and discouragement when you're hurting. She prayed. She just prayed. When she was even in bitterness of soul, she just prayed and asked God. You know what God did? God blessed her with a child named Samuel. And really, he became one of Israel's great priests who loved the Lord because she prayed. She prayed. When you and I are hurting, pray. Just pray. Don't get mad. Don't get discouraged. Don't get bitter. Don't lash out. Don't fight. Don't allow bitterness to overtake you or uproot you. Just pray. Just pray. You see, prayer is not just a remedy for the answer. Prayer is a remedy for the heart and the soul of mankind. We need to pray. We need to pray. When you feel like praying the least, it might be that God's nearest to you the most. And that prayer can be answered by God. Don't give up when you don't think God's answering that prayer. Again and again, we're reminded God hears prayer. God hears prayer. If God didn't answer that prayer the way you wanted or in the time frame that you thought he should, just keep your faith in him. Just keep trusting in him. Keep your eyes on God no matter what, because he is the all-wise Heavenly Father that is looking down from above, but he sees the whole picture. He sees the whole picture of everything. And we have to trust him. Keep on praying. I'll close with a little illustration. There's a missionary lady with great faith. Her name was Rosalind Goforth. Rosalind Goforth had many, many, many challenges in her life. She tells of one experience when she was trusting God. She had no money, and she says, I was sorely tempted to give others just a hint of my need, but I was kept from doing so. And though I had a week or more of severe testing, peace of mind and the assurance that God would supply my need came at length. You see, sometimes when you pray, and it's called prevailing prayer. You pray prevailing. You reach a point, Lord willing, that you place it in Lord's hand and peace of mind overcomes you. When that peace of mind, she said, but I was kept from doing so. I thought I had a week or more of severe testing, peace of mind, and the assurance that God would supply my need came at the length. The answer, however, did not come until the very last night before the wedding of these dear friends that I wanted to give them of their need. That evening, a number of my fellow workers from the mission called and presented me with a beautiful gift. It was, and also a little purse. After these friends had left, I returned to my home, assembled in the back parlor, and showed them the gift and the purse unopened. Not for a moment did I think there was anything in the purse till my brother said, "You foolish girl, why don't you open it?" I opened the purse and found it contained a check for $50. She says, "This incident has remained particularly precious, for it seemed to us a seal of God upon the new life opening before us. And from there, we enter God's will for our life." What a precious experience. And I say to you tonight, let's just keep on praying. Pray no matter what, pray no matter when. Just keep on praying and trust God and see what God will do. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight.